Well, praise the Lord. It's a blessing to see you here at our Father's house this morning. Can everybody hear me all right? Hear me good? Okay. Glory to God. So glad to see you here and be here with you at Morris Hill. Got a prayer request. Pray for Mildred's family. Her nephew Larry has passed away, so keep that whole family in your prayers. And let's pray that God will continue to keep us all safe. And most of all, in His perfect will. And pray for the schools as they keep on going back and keep everybody safe. And pray for all those around us, but most of all, the lost that don't know the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and that we can be a witness. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your word and Your truth. Help us, Lord, as Your people, to be Your ambassadors. Lord, as You commanded us in Your word, that we may follow You and show Your truth and Your love, Lord, and love You with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Help all these people around us, Lord, that don't know You as Savior, that don't know Your love and Your grace. Help us to be beacons of that grace, that we may bring them to Your saving knowledge, Lord. Bring them to Your truth. Speak through us, Lord, and help us be wholly relying on Thee with everything we've got, Lord. Be with all these people around us that's lost family members, with Mildred's family and all these around us. Lord, we know that death doesn't have a sting for a child of God, that we'll all be in the great reunion in the New Jerusalem. We thank You for that promise, Lord. Be with all the sick and protect us all from this pestilence that surrounds us. And help this nation, Lord, to be closer to You and to call upon Your name. For You promised in Your word that You'll hear from heaven when we call upon You. We thank You, Lord, for that promise. Be with us as we examine Your word this morning, and may it pierce our hearts to the uttermost, that we may be closer and know You more fully, and be more sanctified, Lord, by Your word and Your truth and Your Holy Spirit. And Father, we end this prayer with the prayer that Thy Son Jesus taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you'll turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew. The Gospel of Matthew. Get these out here. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16, and we'll be starting with verse 13. Matthew 16, verse 13. Matthew 16, verse 13, the Lord tells us, "When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, 'Who do people say the Son of Man is?' They replied, 'Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets.' 'But what about you?' He asked. 'Who do you say I am?' Simon Peter answered, 'You are the Christ, the Son of the living God.' Jesus replied, 'Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by My Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build My church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven.' Then He warned His disciples not to tell anyone that He was the Christ." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your word. Help us to glean from it, Lord. Give me the words to preach this morning, that we may follow Your Holy Spirit and Your word by Thy grace. Thank You, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We come here. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, it says, He asked His disciples, and He asked us all. He's asking the world. He said, first, who do people say the Son of Man is? If you ask people, you'll get all kinds of answers to that question, more answers than we know what to do with. They replied, some say John the Baptist. That wasn't the case. Others say Elijah. It wasn't true. Still others, Jeremiah. Still not true. Or one of the prophets, because Jesus was the Son of God. He was no mere prophet. All around, people have all kinds of answers as they reply of who do people say that Jesus is. so many different answers. The world will give you wrong answers. The world will give us false answers. People say, well, he's a nice fellow back in the day. Some people say he never even existed, even though it's a historic fact that our Lord and Savior walked this earth. Some people say he was a false prophet. Some people say this. Some people say that. But all around it, they're false. If we go out here to the world seeking answers, we won't have the truth. Jesus Christ said he's the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but through him. And we have his word to show us the way. We have his word to tell us about him. His very words to show us what God says, how he loves us and redeems us by the blood of the Lamb when Jesus stretched his arms on the cross of Calvary for us. Verse 15, he says, but what about you? He asked. Who do you say that I am? That's a question that we all should answer. Who is Jesus Christ to us? The Bible says, except a man or woman be born again, they shall not see the kingdom of God. Except we're born again through the Heavenly Father's family by faith in Jesus Christ, we won't see heaven. We won't be knowing God as our Savior. What about you? He asked. Who do you say I am? Who is Jesus to you this morning? Do you know him as Savior? Is he your closest friend? Is he your Lord and Savior, the Father of all, the one that shows us the way? Simon Peter answered correctly. He said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Do we truly know that in our hearts? Are we living like it? If Jesus is our Lord and Savior, if he's the one that's saved us, redeemed us by his blood, then our lives ought to be a reflection. We claim to be Christians. The word Christian means to be like Christ, a follower of Christ. Why we take the name of Christ upon us. If we're taking Jesus' name upon us, that's a mighty, mighty big thing we're doing. The Son of the living God, the one who created heaven and earth, we're taking his name upon us. We need not blaspheme his name by how we live. We need not blaspheme his name by denying him with our works and our lips and how we live. Who do you say that I am? Not only with our lips, who are we saying Christ is, but how are we living our lives? Are we following him by the word of God and sanctification? Or are we living for the world and yet telling people we're a follower of Christ? Are we truly living what God has to say in his word? What about you, he asked. Who do you say that I am? Who is Jesus to you? Who are you saying he is? Simon Peter answered, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God, God's only Son. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, our Trinity God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man. It wasn't by man's wisdom. Man's wisdom will always come up short. The Bible tells us that the wisdom of man is foolishness to God. God's wisdom that he's written in his word is the most precious thing we've got. This right here is our most precious gift. God's given us our letter, Jesus Christ. Is the Word made flesh, and we have the written Word right here for us to read and study and learn of God. We ought to be saturating our lives with it, filling our minds with it. Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, not by man. Will never be revealed to us by man. If we want to be like God, it'll never be by man's wisdom, but by the Word of God, by the living Word of God, we shall prevail. But by my Father, in heaven. That's who revealed it to him. That's who reveals it to us, our Heavenly Father. The Bible tells us that he's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to him. He wants all people in heaven someday, but not everybody will make it. Not everybody will be there. There's some people that will go down to perdition, not because God didn't want them, but because so many people don't want the Lord God Almighty. God has offered free salvation by grace through faith to all people. He said, I'll draw all men unto me. He's not willing that any should perish, the Bible tells us. But my Father in heaven, he wants all people there. And I tell you that you are Peter, he says, and on this rock I will build my church. And the gates of Hades, or as King James tells us, the gates of hell, will not overcome it. It will not prevail over it. It won't happen. He says, I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I'll build my church. Many say that he was talking about Peter, because Peter comes from Petros, that Greek word that means rock. That's not talking about Peter. There are different Greek words he's talking about if you go back into that. But we'll just deal with the English here. You are Peter, and on this rock I'll build my church. He wasn't building on Peter. He wasn't building on people. Jesus Christ is building his church on himself, the solid rock, as we sing in that hymn sometimes. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. He says, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. On Jesus Christ, he built his church. Way back in those days when the gospel's telling us about this, all the way back from then to now, Jesus is building his church on his solid rock every day. If we're living our lives grounded on the solid rock of Jesus Christ, we won't falter, we won't fail, we won't be falling over. We need to be grounded on him. On this rock, I will build my church. If we don't build our house on the solid rock of Jesus Christ, if we don't build our lives on a sure foundation, we'll falter, we'll fail. This building right here, your building, this is the temple of the Holy Spirit. We have the church house. It's called a church house for a reason. It's where the church of the living God meets. But we no longer have a temple. This building's not the temple. We're the temple. I'm the temple. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. We need to be building our temple on the sure foundation of the solid rock of Jesus Christ, and mind that we're the Holy Spirit's indwelling in our hearts. The Bible says, know ye not that your body is a temple. Let's live as a temple of God, saying that Jesus is Savior, with how we live by following him. He says there, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, or the gates of hell, will not overcome it. This is a promise of the Scripture. The devil's tried to overcome the church ever since it started, but he never has. Christians were killed, persecuted in the early church all the way till now. We are so blessed to live in this great nation of the United States. Praise God that he's given us this wonderful land. But not all Christians have this luxury, so we need to be very mindful. To whom much is given, the Bible says, much is required. God has given us this nation of freedom, so we have been given much in this. Much, too, will be required of us. We need to be out here serving the Lord with the freedom he's given us. There's Christians today in China. This morning, no doubt, they're hiding in secret because it's illegal. They could be killed. There's people over there in the Middle East and Africa, all around the world, following the Lord. But the gates of hell will not prevail in the end, because this is God's church, the church of the living God. We need to be mindful and pray for those people. We need to be thankful for what God has given us here and not use this liberty that he has given us as something to be squandered, something to be thought of and taken advantage of. No, we need to be using it for God and his glory. We have the luxury of being able to talk to people about Jesus wherever we go and not have to worry about the government coming and arresting us. Not here in Tennessee, at least. Praise God for that. The gates of hell will not overcome it. Over and over. All throughout history, the gates of hell have tried, but they never will. The Bible tells us in Revelation, the saints overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Praise God, we'll not overcome it. Notice here in verse 19, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. God has given his church, his people, the keys of the kingdom of heaven. We're not deciding who's saved, who's lost, who's going to heaven. No, it's given us stewardship over this world. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. We have authority to speak in the name of Jesus. We have authority to follow him. If you'll follow me, and we'll be back to Matthew 16 in just a moment, but we're going to travel up here to Mark chapter 16, the last of it. And at the end of it, it says here in verse 14, later Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating. He rebuked them for their lack of faith. He rebuked them for the lack of faith. They weren't trusting him. We need to be trusting him. When we stop trusting him is when we start to falter and fail. Lack of faith they had and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he'd risen. Their stubborn refusal. They refused to believe. We need to believe what God has to say. Lord, help us. Jesus tells us, don't be stubborn. Listen to what I'm trying to say. Back there in the Old Testament, over and over again, God said, behold, these are stiff-necked people. That's how God's people can be so often. Stiff-necked, not wanting to follow what God has to say, not wanting to submit to his word. Lack of faith, refusal, stubborn refusal. Lord, help us not to be that way. Help us be mendable as clay is in the potter's hand. In verse 15, he says, and he said to him, this is what he's saying to them back then, he's saying to us now, go into all the world and preach the good news as the gospel to all creation. Everybody, whoever believes and is baptized, will be saved. Praise God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. We got a message to tell of hope. This world's a hopeless place. People's looking for answers and hope in this world. They'll never find it. They'll try to fill a void and it'll never be filled in this world. But with Jesus Christ, he is the way, the truth, and the life. There's hope in him and his blessed coming. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Praise God. It's all the other religions in this world. It's all about what you can do for God. But with us, praise God, what Jesus has done for us And then we can allow the Holy Spirit to go through us and we can live for Him. It's all about what He has done for us on the cross of Calvary, and we believe and we're saved. But the tragedy is, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. Bible says that everybody already stands condemned before the law. But with Jesus, we no longer stay condemned when we put our faith in Him. And these signs will accompany those who believe in my name, in the name of Jesus, not in my name or yours, in Jesus' name. They will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well, as James talks about the prayer of faith, truly believing. These are the signs, these wonderful promises God gives us. Now, it doesn't mean we need to go kick up a rattlesnake and pick it up and start following it around or drink some poison here. That's not what He's telling us. He's telling us in the moment when God sees us in trouble, sees us being poisoned or having snakes after us, not just literal snakes, but the snakes of hell, God will protect us. We'll take them up and throw them away in Jesus' name. And the demons, cast them out. And the sickness, Lord, help us. After the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, He was taken up into heaven, and He sat at the right hand of God. Then the disciples went out, preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed His word by the signs that accompanied it. He sat down at the right hand of God because His work on Calvary was finished. He sat down. He's on the throne room of God today, sitting on the right hand of the Father with the Holy Spirit. He said they're everywhere, and the Lord worked with them. The Lord will work with us, signs and truths, by the word of God, if we'll have faith in Him, if we'll put our faith in Him. Back there in Matthew chapter 16, He says there, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. God has given us such a responsibility as His children. This is the word of Almighty God, and we are to spread it and teach people, show them the way. The Bible tells us at the end of the Gospel of Matthew to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's the church's responsibility. So often throughout history and even in this modern day, many churches are drifting, wanting to get involved in social work and this and that. But the first and foremost thing is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we can see clearly to help people around us. When we're telling people about the Lord, getting right with the Lord, then we can see clearly to do these other works around us and help people as God commands us to do. But first and foremost, our work here, first, is to tell people, make disciples, tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ and the wonderful hope that we have in Him. Now, verse 20 says, then He warned His disciples not to tell anyone that He was a Christ. It was not yet time to be revealed yet. And verse 21, from that time on, Jesus began to explain to His disciples that He must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that He must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Praise God, and that happened for us and for our redemption. Peter took Him aside, although, and began to rebuke Him. Never, Lord, he said, this shall never happen to you. Oh, Lord, help us. He rebuked the Lord. Sometimes believers do that very same thing. It may not be as blatant as Peter saying, this ain't going to happen to you. But when we go back here, that stubbornness and refusing to follow the Lord, wanting to make it our way instead of God's way in our lives, it's the same thing. Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. Doesn't that happen in believers' lives so many times? Instead of having in mind the ways of God, ways of truth, Peter, just a few verses before, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. Praise God, he was speaking the truth because he was following what Jesus had to say. He was following what the Father had revealed to him. But so often, we do the same thing, don't we? Have in mind the things of God, but the things of man. Having on the things of man involved in our minds. Instead of keeping our minds fixed on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, we need to be careful. We stay close to God. Because notice here, get behind me, Satan, he said to Peter. You are a stumbling block to me. He was a stumbling block to the Lord Jesus Christ. Why is that? He was getting in the way of God's plan. We don't want to be getting in the way of God's plan. We want to be in line with God's plan. We don't want to be a stumbling block of people going to heaven. We want to keep them in the knowledge and saving grace of God by spreading His gospel, by speaking His ways. We don't want to be a stumbling block to Jesus' plan in our lives. God's got a plan for your life. A plan to prosper you and give you peace and to make you holier and closer to God. We don't want to be a stumbling block to that, as Peter was in this moment. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of man. If we're going to say, just as Peter did, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, we need to be saying, Lord, help us to stay closer in that every day. In verse 24, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Anyone's going to follow him. If I'm going to follow him, if you're going to follow him, if anybody in this world is going to follow him, they're going to come after me. They must deny their self and take up their cross and follow me. Back in them days, if you took up your cross, you knew your life was over with. They knew back then because they saw crucifixions. We don't see that nowadays, praise God. But back in them days, when someone picked up their cross and was walking up that hill, they knew they were dead. They're not coming back off that hill except when they're dead. Our lives, Jesus said, if you want to save your life, you're going to lose it. If you hold this tightly, this life in this world, you'll lose it. But if you'll give it up, you'll gain eternal life by trusting in him. He says there, anyone would come after me. If we're going to follow God, we must deny ourselves, our ways, the world's ways. He says here, take up our cross and follow him. Follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Once again, who do you say that I am? Jesus says, if you're saying, you're my Savior, Lord, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God, those things go hand in hand. If we're going to profess him with our lips, profess him truthfully with our hearts and believe him, then this has got to follow through. He says, if anyone would come after me, if we're going to say that, if it's going to be the reality in our lips, it needs to be reality in our hearts, mind, soul, and strength. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hangs all of the law and the prophets. We need to love God. If we're truly saying that, would come after me, we must deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him. We must deny our ways and take up God's ways. If we're doing it our ways, we're having in mind the things of men and not the things of God. We're being a stumbling block. But if we'll submit our ways to God, and all thy ways submit to him, and he will direct thy paths, Proverbs tells us. For whosoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will find it. If we hold our life in this world so tightly, one day we'll die. One of these days, this mortal body, unless the Lord Jesus comes back, they're going to lay it in some graveyard or cemetery somewhere. It'll happen to us all. The Bible says it's appointed unto men and women once to die, and after this is judgment. It's appointed unto us. That's something that's going to happen to every one of us. Unless the Lord Jesus comes back and time is no more, we're all going to die. So we need to be ready for that day. If we're going to be holding our life so tightly, clinging so closely, then we'll die some way and pass on to perdition, that place called hell. That's not where God wants anybody. He wants in heaven. But if we'll give up our life here on this world, give ourselves to the Lord Jesus, put our faith in him, believing on him, then we'll be in eternal life someday. Watch what he says here. Lose his life for me, we'll find it. If we lose our life, the Bible says, Jesus says, that he gives us life, and life more abundant. People without the Lord Jesus, if you don't know him as Savior, if someone don't know him, they don't truly have life in this world. They have existence. Their body exists, but they don't have life, and they certainly don't have it more abundant. But when we're saved, we have life, we have it more abundant, and we have eternal life. He says here, what good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world, yet forfeits his soul? The Bible tells us a parable about a rich man. He had a huge barn, exceedingly full of everything. So full, he didn't have any more room to store anything. He said, what shall I do? I know, I'll tear it down. I'll build a bigger barn. And God came to him that night and said, thou fool, what are you going to do with all this stuff now? Because your life is required of you. Who's it going to go to? It's going to go to someone else. Notice here what Jesus says. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world, yet forfeits his soul? It's temporary. It'll go to somebody else. And one of these days, the Bible tells us it'll all be melted. The very elements themselves will be melted and destroyed. Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? It's priceless, bought with the blood of Jesus, for the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels. Jesus is coming back. That's a reality. What a wonderful reality it is. Praise God for that promise that the Lord's coming back for us someday. He'll come out of the eastern sky and we'll rise to meet him, and time will be no more. These graves over here, all the saved people, they'll bust wide open. And the bodies will be redeemed and resurrected. And we'll all be one. All the way back from the saints of the Old Testament to new and forevermore in the New Jerusalem that God promises us. There'll be no sorrow nor pining there, no wickedness, no sin, no grieving. It'll be the most wonderful place. That's where my home is. That's where all the saved peoples, that's where your home is. Our heavenly home, the New Jerusalem. The Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. We think of heaven as a wonderful place, and it is. It's a glorious place. But the Bible says that heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never fail. Heaven itself is going to be gone, and we'll have the new heavens and the new earth, all redeemed. Revelation 21:22 tells us of this wonderful place in the New Jerusalem. There will be no night there, for God's throne will light the way. God will be in the midst of there. And there's no darkness there, no wickedness, no sadness. Are we going to be going there? Praise God, we can by faith in Jesus Christ. We'll keep on Him, not make shipwreck of our faith, but stay close to Him on His way and His word. Bible says, we are not of them that turn back to perdition. Don't turn back to the ways of the world. Don't turn back to the ways of Egypt land, but keep going straight toward God. He said, therefore, the Son of Man is going to come. It's a promise. It's not if, it's not maybe. It's when He's coming back. We don't know when He'll come back. The Bible says He'll come back like a thief in the night. If you knew someone was going to break into your house tonight, you'd be ready, wouldn't you? We'll be have that door locked. We wouldn't have it wide open. We'd be ready to see Him. We too, Jesus says, you're coming back like a thief in the night. We need to be ready at a moment's notice to meet the Lord. Like the hymn says, Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon. The sad part, it says, many will meet their doom and trumpets will sound. That's not what God wants. So many people will meet their doom on that day, but God wants everybody to meet Him in heaven. Do you know Him? Is He the Son of the living God? Do you know that? Praise God, He is. For the Son of Man is going to come in the Father's glory. All in the Father's glory. Jesus said, not my will, but thine be done. We need to have that same prayer every day. He must increase, but I must decrease every day about the Father's will. What does the Father say? Our Father who art in heaven, as we prayed a second ago. Hallowed be thy name. He's a holy God. He's our heavenly Father. Father God, born again His family. And He treats us as children. He shows us the way. We're His children. He's not just some God we can never know, throwing lightning bolts down because He hates us. No, He's our heavenly Father that loves us, that sent Jesus to die for us. And He's not just sitting us down here and having our own way. You know, He's with us in our lives to show us the way. Well, listen. Well, listen. Listen to what God has to say. Back then, the Old Testament talks about the prophet was hidden up there in the mountains. And there's a great fire. God wasn't in the fire. Earthquakes, wind storms, all these things. God wasn't in all that, it says. But when all that ceased, there's a still small voice. And it was God's Holy Spirit speaking to him. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Let that be our prayer every day. He says there, in the Father's glory. Now notice, when the angels... with the angels, everybody, all the heavenly hosts will be there with us. And then He will reward each person according to what he has done. Praise God. When we get saved, when we get right with God, when we repent of our sins, the Bible tells us that God wipes them away by the blood of Jesus. They're thrown in the sea of forgetfulness. They're gone forevermore. But if you've never known Jesus as Savior, if you don't know Him as Lord, you've never repented of your sins, then they're not wiped away. Each person according to what he has done. Now, people like to do it in the world. Compare ourselves. Look at someone over there. Boy, isn't that just a wicked person? I'm just so glad I'm not like them, like the Pharisee did in the temple. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. I'm not like this person. That's wicked, the Bible tells us. That's not of God. God's standard is a lot higher than man's standard. God's standard is if you look upon someone and lust after them, you've committed adultery in your heart already. If you're angry without a cause, you've committed murder in your heart already. God's standard is high. It's so high nobody can ever stand forth. Nobody could ever complete it except the Lord Jesus Christ. He did it, and He died on the cross of Calvary, innocent, and He took our sins. Not only that, but He gave us His righteousness. Praise God for that. So now He will reward each person according to what He has done. If we're right with God, we're saved by His grace. We have God's righteousness upon us. We have the Holy Spirit to guide us, and we can walk with Him in His way, in His will. But Jesus said it's a straight and narrow way, and few will find it. God's opened it to all people, but it's only those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we begin our journey. A lot of times people want to get the buggy in front of the horse and start working for God. Then we're saved. You'll never work your way to heaven, because we'll never be good enough. Our works on our own are filthy rags, the Bible tells us. But when we put our faith in God, put our faith in Him, and we allow the Spirit to work through us, then we can show forth the fruits of the Spirit. It's all by faith, by trusting in Him. Then our good works can show forth by the power of God's Holy Spirit, not of us. The good in us is from God, our Heavenly Father, and His Holy Spirit. He says there, verse 28, I tell you the truth, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in His kingdom, he says. The kingdom of God is within us, the Bible tells us. We are living in the kingdom of God. It's not physically here yet, but spiritually we're living in it because we're the church of the living God. Jesus Christ is reigning right now. He's sitting on high at the throne room of God, reigning. Is He the King of our hearts? Have you trusted in Him as Savior? Then there ought to be a difference in our lives, how we're living. Not that we're working our way to heaven, no, but that by God we're living through Him. By faith in Him, our lives make a difference. What about you? In verse 15, he asked, who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Praise God. If we're confessing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, we can follow Him. We can be ready for His coming. We can be ready to live for Him. To hold these keys that God has given us, to show others the way to this glorious place. Every one of us knows people that's lost, that doesn't know Jesus as Savior. And God's calling us to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. We all know somebody we can witness to. We need to be careful that we're putting our faith in Him, so that we can live for Him and show Him the way. Lord, help us to do that very thing. So he tells us the truth. Some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in His kingdom. He's came in His kingdom. The Holy Spirit came down at Pentecost, and from that moment forward, every time someone gets saved, the Holy Spirit comes in their heart. He came in mine. He came in yours. And we can follow Him and walk in the Spirit. So if Jesus is asking us, first, he's saying, who do you say that I am? Who is the Lord Jesus to you? Is he just somebody, when we need something, when we're having a bad day, we can say, Lord, I sure could use your help. Or is he your closest friend? Is he truly the Lord of your life? Praise God, that's the case. That's the case. And as he showed here, we have a lot of work to do, binding and loosening, listening to what God has to say by the Word of God. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, let's live for Him and show the way. If we're professing He's the Son of the living God, then may our life show forth it and show it true as we live in the kingdom of God right here, right now, living as He's reigning, looking forward to the day that He comes back. Let's all bow our heads. I want to ask, first ask the self, who is Jesus to you? If you're saying He's your Lord and Savior, glory to God for that. Has it been showing forth this past week? Just take a moment and take an honest assessment. Has His Lordship shown through in your life this week? Is there something between you and God this morning? Take a moment. Pray to Him. The Bible says that His throne room of grace is open because of what Jesus did on the cross. We can come boldly under the throne of grace to find our help in every time of need. His throne is always open, day and night. As we wait His coming, let's walk and live for Him. Take a moment and pray to the Lord. Father, we thank You, Lord, for the wonderful blessing of being able to come here this morning and gather here together as Your children at the assembling together of Your people. Bless each and every one of these wonderful people that's came out this morning. We thank You for their presence, Lord, and most of all, we thank You for Your presence with us Help us to live for you with everything we got, Lord. Live as your kingdom people, loving those around us, Lord. Showing them to make disciples, Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit. And not just that, but showing forth their needs and helping them in every way we can. Help us to do that very thing by the power of your Holy Spirit. Bless each and every one of us as we depart from this place, and be with us this week as you promised you would, Lord, that you'll never leave us nor forsake us, that you're with us wherever we go. And we thank you for that promise, and help us to heed it and live by it and live by your word and draw close to you, Lord. Use the experiences that we'll each face this week to make us closer to you, to draw nigh to thee. And you promised you'll draw nigh to us, Lord. We each go different ways this week. Every one of us has a different task at hand. Help us to do whatever we can, do whatever we do for your glory and your glory alone. Thank you, Father God. In the name of Jesus, thy Son, we pray. Amen.